Okay, this is a summary of our Gemara Shir from Shabbos Parshas Balak. We're in Ksuva Staf Yud Amud Aleph, about 10 lines down, dealing with the question of the fallout when a man comes to Beis Din and says, after initial relations with his wife, that she wasn't a Besula. Rav Yehuda said, quoting Shmuel, that when he says, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, she was not a Besula, that is actually sufficient to cost her the ksuba of a Besula. We were very surprised by this. After all, the man's not bringing any evidence. Nonetheless, we noted two things. Number one, she has no evidence that she is a Besula. He has no evidence that she is not a Besula. It's his claim that she's not a Besula. So at the end of the day, Oki Mamona Bechezkas Mare, leave the money where it is. Don't make him pay. That's number one. Number two, we said that, and this is something that came up in the Gemara that we saw last week, that we make a psychological assumption that this man is not going to go to the trouble of marrying her and then undermine everything by making a claim that is going to result in divorce. And we saw last week from Tosfos that only if the claim would result in divorce do we say, in fact, that it undermines that this chazaka, that this psychological assumption holds true. Only if the result of this will be divorce, because he's going to say, I married her thinking that she was a besula. She's not a besula. It was a mekachtos. It was all by mistake. So Rav Yehuda says, quoting Shmuel, the man is able to make this claim and cost her the ksuba of a besula. So that leads into the discussion of whether ksuba is de'oraisa or de'rabanan. Is ksuba a biblical obligation? This obligation that the man has to pay something in the event of his death or in the event of divorce, is that de'oraisa? Is that from the Torah? Or is it rabbinic? And the reason why we ask this question here is, as we said, if ksuba is a rabbinic enactment meant to help her, meant to prevent him from divorcing her on a whim, he's going to have to think twice when he has to make this payment. Is there an option for her to lose the ksuba based on the husband's say-so? Because if there is, then what was the point of the takana? What was the point of the enactment in the first place? So we're asking, is ksuba really de'oraisa or is it de'rabanan? So as we thought last week, the first view, Rav Nachman, quoting Shmuel, Shem ben Elazar, says that ksuba is in fact a de'rabanan. And yes, the rabbis who enacted it also said, we believe him to say, Pesach Pasuach Matzatzi, she's not a besula, because we have this chazaka, we have the psychological assumption that the man wouldn't work to marry her and then lose the marriage. That's what we are now up to in the Gemara. We are 7 lines down on the page on Yud Amud Aleph. Tana, we learned, Hoel uknas chachamim hu lo sigbe ela min haziburis. We learned, since this is a knas, a fine of the Rabbanan, therefore the ksuba is only collectible from ziburis. What is ziburis? So in the lexicon of the Mishnah and Gemara, there are 3 classes of land. There is idis. Idis is the best. There is Beinonis, that's intermediate, and there is Ziboris. Ziboris is the inferior, the worst of the land. Now, you could have $1,000, or maybe I should say $100,000, worth of land that is Idis, that is wonderful land, and it'll be a small piece of land. It's $100,000 worth, but it's small because it's a high-quality piece of land. Easy to farm, good location, water supply, whatever it is that determines what the land is worth. On the other hand, you could have $100,000 worth of Ziboris. $100,000 worth of Ziboris is a lot more land than $100,000 worth of Idis. So you might say to me, well, what's the difference? They're both worth $100,000. But you don't really want the $100,000 worth of the inferior land. There's a reason it's inferior. It's going to be harder to work. It's going to be out of the way. It's not going to have a good water supply. It may be worth it from, you know, the market value perspective, but you don't want that. And it's not going to produce as well. Things aren't going to be as good when you're getting your $100,000 worth of Ziburis. So because ksuba is a rabbinic enactment, therefore, they didn't raise the bar so high to say you have to pay better quality. You could pay lesser quality land for it. As long as you pay the right amount, the quality of it is your choice. The Gemara then asks a question on the language of that brisa. Knasa, you call it a knas, a fine. You're fining him? It's not fining the husband. Mike Nasa, what fine is it? Ella Ema Hawil Vitakanas Chachamim Hilo Sigbe Ella Min Haziboris. Rather, what we're saying is, since it is a takana of the Chachamim, since it's a rabbinic enactment, therefore it's only done out of Ziboris. And then we say the following. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Ksuvas Isha Min HaTorah. Ooh-wah! Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Ksuba is actually biblical, not rabbinic. The Ksuba is actually from the Psukim. Well, that is a fascinating idea, that Ksuba is actually going to be biblical. Obviously, we need to know where in the world that it comes from. We'll find out shortly. But he says Ksuba is a deoraisa. So the Gemara challenges this statement of the Braisa. Umi Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Hachi. Do Rabbi Shimon Gamliel really say that Ksuba is biblical? We have a source, a Braisa, that seems to say very clearly that Ksuba is in fact derabanan. And it's the following Braisa. But before we see the Braisa, we need to see some psukim, which I gave you on the source sheet for convenience. First, well, both of the psukim we are about to see involve the word mohar. Okay? These are the only cases in Chumash with the word mohar. And what the word means is some kind of dower payment. Not dowry, but dower, D-O-W-E-R. A payment that comes from the man to the woman, apparently payable at the time of the marriage. If you take a look at source Aleph, this is from the story of Dina in the city of Shechem. After Dina has already been raped and Shechem says, I want to marry her, Vayomer Shechem el Aviya vel Acheha emtzachein b'yeinechem, Bereishis Lamed Daled. Shechem says, I would like to marry her, whatever you tell me to give, Asher Tumur Elai, whatever you tell me, Etain, I will give. Harbu alai me'od mohar umatan. Increase for me whatever you want as the mohar in terms of gifts. Ve'atanan, I will give whatever you tell me. I just want to marry her. And he thinks this is the way to do it. So that's the first use of the word mohar. It is a payment for being able to marry Dina. The second pasuk that I bring here is from the case of Mefate. The Torah talks about the possibility, Rachmana Litzlan, where a man seduces a young unmarried girl. Doesn't have to be young, but an unmarried girl. V'chi yifate ish bisula. When a man seduces a bisula, asher lo arasa, she was not engaged to anybody else. She did not have kiddushin with anybody else. If she had had kiddushin with somebody else, the story would be different because there would be a death penalty. But that's not the case. The case is he seduced this unmarried woman, v'shachav ima mahor yimharena lo li'isha. So he shall give mohar to be able to marry her. This assumes that she wants to marry him. If she does not want to marry him, there is zero coercion involved. But in the event that she wants to, he pays the mohar to marry her. And in the event that her father says nothing doing, kesef yishkol kamor habesulos, the man will still have to pay according to the mohar habesulos. It does not specify what the amount is. It just says that's what he has to pay. So in both of these contexts, whether it's Shechem paying mohar in order to marry Dina, or whether it is the seducer paying the mohar as part of marrying or not marrying the former Besula, in either case, mohar is some kind of payment for the wedding. And as I noted when we introduced the Masechta, to this day, the Muslim world has a marriage payment that is either pronounced mohar or mahar, and seems to fit this model as well. Okay. So that's introductory note number one to know before this braisa, is that the word mohar seems to refer to payment for marriage. Introductory note number two. The Torah stipulates fines to be paid in the case of rape of an unmarried girl, as well as what we saw, the case of seduction. So we saw the seduction one. If you take a look at source Gimel from Devarim Chav Beis, we get the pasuk in the case of rape, v'nasan ha'ish ha'shochev imah lavi ha'na'arach ha'mishim kasef, that the rapist has to pay 50 kesef. He pays it to the father of the girl. The reason it goes to the father is because a father has certain responsibilities for his unmarried daughter, and in exchange for the responsibilities that he takes on, he also has the right to money that comes as a result of her activities. And obviously this would be grotesque to call this the result of her activities. Nonetheless, it is money that comes to her and therefore back to him. And again, she cannot be forced to marry the rapist. However, if she chooses to, Velosiela Isha, she marries this fellow. Hard to imagine, but there was actually an article I saw just this past week from the New York Times about such a case that happened a generation ago in the U.S. In any case, the point for, not among Jews, it's a separate, it wasn't about Judaism, it was a separate point. The point for us, though, what emerges out of this is that the Torah assigns a fine in the case of mefata, seduction, and in the case of ones, the case of rape. But if you look carefully at the psukim, in the case of rape, it says chamishim kasef, 50 silver coins. In the case of mefata, it just says give kesef according to mar habasulos. So that brings us back to our Gemara and the Brisa that we're bringing here. Again, the goal of this Brisa is not to discuss rape and seduction. The goal of this Brisa is just to show you Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's position. Nonetheless, this is the Brisa. So, the Gemara asks, we're now about 10 lines down. Umi Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Hachi, does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel really believe Ksuba is, the Brisa is biblical? Vatanya, Brisa says the following. Kesef yishkol kimar habesulos, the pasuk that we saw regarding seduction, you pay kesef according to the mohar of a besula, sheyehei ze kimar habesulos, that this payment should be like the mohar habesulos, which is the pasuk regarding rape, which is 50 silver coins, umar habesulos kazeh, and the mohar habesulos should be like this to pay it out of kesef. They are we're linking the two psukim. Mikan samchu chachamim leksubas isha min haTorah. And then the Tanakhama says, based on this, the chachamim said, we have a biblical concept of ksuba. I'm going to come back to those words, mikan samchu chachamim, not there just yet. But the point is, the Tanakhama seems to be presenting a biblical or quasi-biblical ksuba. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer ksubas isha eina midivrei Torah ela midivrei sofer. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, it's not a deoraisa, it's only rabbinic. So now you have Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel saying it's rabbinic, not saying that it's biblical. I don't understand. That's the problem that we have here in the Gemara. How can you tell me that he says it's biblical when right here he's saying black on white that it's rabbinic? So the Gemara has two answers. The first answer of the Gemara is, epoch. You're right. Flip the views in the Brisa. When the Brisa has the Tanakhama say it's biblical, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say it's rabbinic, that's a mistake. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is actually the one who says that it is biblical. So the Gemara asks, umay chazis da abchis bas Brisa, epoch kamaisa. What did you see here that made you decide that you want to flip this Brisa? Why don't you flip your original source that said Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes it's biblical? Maybe the answer is he really believes it's rabbinic, and this Brisa here is correct. No, because I have another source that shows that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel believes that Ksuba is in fact biblical. Hashamina le Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel de Amar Ksubas Isha mi de Oraisa. We have a separate source that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel believes that Ksuba is de Oraisa. It comes from the Mishnah in the last parak in Ksubos, Disnan. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer no sein la mimaos kaputkio. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says you pay with the money of Cappadocia, which I believe is a place in somewhere in what is today Turkey. Rashi explains what's going on here with this kaputkia money. The Mishnah in the end of Ksubos talks about the case in which a man and woman get married in one area, and then they get divorced in a separate area. And their currencies have different value in the different areas. So do you say, pay the ksuba based on the currency where you got married, because that was when you agreed to the ksuba? Or, no, pay the ksuba based on the currency where they got divorced, because that's when he actually is obligated to pay. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, you pay Cappadocia money, you pay the Kaputkia money, because in the case where he married her in Israel and then divorced her, I'm sorry, in the case in which he says you pay the money of Cappadocia, you're paying the better quality currency, indicating that he believes that Ksuba is actually de Oraisa. So since I have an external source demonstrating that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel believes Ksuba is de Oraisa, therefore, if I have here a brisa that seems to say, he thinks it's derabanan, I'm going to flip this brisa in order to fit the Mishnah from the end of Ksuvos, and Fibin the Rebbe Shimon Gamliel believes Ksuvos Isha Min HaTorah, which we saw here. So the brisa here that Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says it's Min HaTorah, along with the Mishnah at the end of Ksuvos, are going to win, and the brisa that says Rebbe Shimon Gamliel thinks it's derabanan is going to lose. That's one approach. Then we get a second approach. Ve'iba yis ema. If you want, I'll give you a different answer. Kula Rabbi Shimon Gamliel hi. The whole thing is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel talking. Meaning the whole brisa is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel talking. V'chisuri machsura. You're missing a clause. V'achi ketani. And this is the way you should learn it. Mikan samchu chachamim l'ksuvas isha min ha-Torah. From here, the chachamim said ksuvas de'oraisa. And that's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel as well. But the end of this brisa is talking about a different case. It's talking about not the ksuba of a besula, but the ksuba of a woman who is getting married the second time, or beyond that. Ksuas amana, the ksuba of a widow, that's one case where he might be getting married again. Eina midivrei Torah, ela midivrei sofrim. That's not biblical, that's rabbinic. Shrabin shem begamliel omer, ksubas amana, eina midivrei Torah, ela midivrei sofrim. Because he said the ksuba of an amana, this multiple, you know, beyond the first marriage, that's midivrei sofrim, that is rabbinic. Okay. So, we pointed out in the shir, but that's where we got up to in the Gemara. But we pointed out a problem in the shir. This line in the Braisa that says Mikan Samchu Chachamim L'Ksuvas Isha Min HaTorah doesn't really sound like it's saying Ksuba is biblical. From here, the Chachamim relied that Ksuba is biblical is very odd. So I noted for you, and it's on the sheet in Sor's Dalet, Tosfos and Sota actually picks up on this and says no one really believes Ksuba is entirely De'oraisa. Tosfos and Sota in Sor's Dalet, I'm not going through the entire Tosfos right now, but pick up on Deha in the second line on the sheet. Deha afilu Rabbi Shimon Gamliel damar perbasu de ksubas isha de'oraisa, even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says that ksuba is biblical, love mamash de'oraisa, doesn't mean literally biblical, ella isle smach de'oraisa, but it has a sort of biblical basis. This is like asmachta, where we say that the Rabbanan enact something, and they link it to a biblical text, because it expresses a biblical value. In other words, I have a pasuk, which indicates that there is some kind of payment that was made historically for a woman when one got married to her. That teaches me that there should be such a payment. The rabbis created ksuba along the lines of that biblical value. That's what we mean when we say ksuba is de'oraisa. So that's the that's how Tosfos and Sota takes this mikan samchu chachamim. We then began to note that Tosfos here, Tosfos Omar at the top of the page, says that we hold ksuba is in fact de'oraisa. We started on that in the Tosfos, and that's where we're going to pick up, God willing, not this coming Shabbos, because there is no shir this coming Shabbos, but the following one, God willing, July 10th. Be well.